There was a saying in the rebellious 1960s that the whole world was watching. But while television cameras gobbled up loads of incendiary footage, Hollywood movie studios paid little attention to the radical student movements of the time. Radical groups in the late 1960s and early 70s had sex, drugs, music, costumes, violence, and fugitives, but no major movie deals. Now that could be changing as a documentary on the Weather Underground opens around the country, and novels about that time are being adapted for the screen. David Darcy reports that people who are on both sides of those barricades are concerned about whether the films are getting the story right.
Bill Ayers was part of a group of college anti-war activists who didn't think that the radical anti-war Students for a Democratic Society were militant enough. He and others who favored violent revolution formed the splinter group, the Weathermen.
Some people felt, literally, that the bigger the mess we could make, the better. That is, that whatever it cost, whatever, you know, destructive kinds of activity we could do against the U.S. government, the better.
Ayers and the other Weathermen went underground after a bomb they were making blew up in a Manhattan townhouse in 1969. They went on to bomb the Pentagon and the Capitol and to elude the FBI for years. This was a period that Sam Green, director of the documentary of the Weather Underground, wanted to know more about.
I grew up in the 80s, which was a pretty bleak time politically, and I think I looked back on the 60s and wondered, how did the 60s turn into the 80s? There was some sort of missing chapter, and so I was always really interested in what happened, especially in the 70s, political activism in the 70s, and how did it get from the 68 Democratic Convention to disco in the 70s?
Dredging up the radical past means reopening wounds and looking at the conventional wisdom about an era, says Bernadine Dorn, a leader of Students for a Democratic Society, who then led the Weather Underground. She's married to Bill Ayers.
They've commodified the 60s, and they've demonized and romanticized it. So it was a bunch of criminal thugs who, you know, ate cats and did weird orgiastic things. Or it was Martin Luther King, who was a saint, and we were all against the war anyway. You know, that's kind of the package deal that you get if you look at everything.
Yet the Weather Radicals weren't averse to packaging. They allowed themselves to be filmed underground. Like most Americans, they drew their fantasies from the movies, says David Horowitz, a conservative who was then editor of the radical magazine, Ramparts.
The Weather Underground loved the Wild Bunch. Huey Newton's favorite, the Black Panther leader's favorite film was The Godfather. You know, the left loved violence, and we loved Bonnie and Clyde because they robbed banks.
And the risk with film, even documentary, is that it can be more compelling when it relies on style and gesture and on sympathetic characters. Beware, says Todd Gitlin, a former radical and one of the few critics of the Weather Underground in the film.
These people had ideas. They didn't just have passion. And their ideas were awful ideas. So it wasn't just that these were people who were more earnestly and militantly anti-war than anybody else. They had ideas about how the world ought to be, and their ideals were foul.
But the intrigue of radicals on the run is hard to resist for a film director like Robert Redford. At the Sundance Film Festival in January, Redford said the Weather Underground story of secret lives and new identities has the same built-in drama as the Outlaw Network in one of his best-known films, Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid.
What were their lives like as they tried to live normal lives in a totally abnormal situation? What happens to your personal identity psychologically when you adopt a new name, go to a new community, get a new job, get married, have children, and try to behave like a normal person as though you've had no background where someone was killed or something was blown up? What did that do to you to live that way, and how did you stay connected, and what did you think of one another? To me, that's just fascinating stuff.
Redford's not leaving that to fantasy. He's optioned the film rights to a new novel in which a Weather Underground fugitive is hunted by the FBI. Neil Gordon, author of The Company You Keep, interviewed Weather Underground veterans for a work of what he calls investigative fiction.
My project was really to try and understand their experience from the inside, understand it as it happened to them, and reinvent that for my reader, and the chance to meet them helped a lot. The reality of these people's experience is only the beginning of a work of fiction. It takes an enormous amount of imagination and another kind of work to make it real.
That's not the kind of reality drama that Americans are looking for today, says David Horowitz.
The fact is the left is going against the grain. The majority of Americans love this country, and that's just a fact.
Horowitz's own memoir, Radical Son, which alleges that Black Panther Party members committed murder, got scant attention from Hollywood. Horowitz blames that on Hollywood's gatekeepers.
You can't make a film where black progressives are the bad guys. Just can't be done. When I say gatekeepers, all the people that are hiring the talent, all the distributors, you know, at every point, you're encountering the left.
But filmmakers on the left, like Naomi Foner, say Hollywood hasn't been friendly to them either. In 1988, Foner wrote and produced Running on Empty, about a couple and their young sons on the run.
Arthur and Annie Pope continue to elude capture, despite several sightings of the couple who went underground after claiming responsibility for the 1971 bombing of the University of Massachusetts Military Research Lab. What's elude mean?
Not getting caught.
Foner, who was a student activist in New York in the 60s, says her script got made very cheaply thanks to director Sidney Lumet, who forced the studio to fund it and release it. The movie came and went in theaters. Foner and young actor River Phoenix were nominated for Academy Awards. Foner hasn't had any luck since then with scripts about the radical priest Berrigan Brothers.
Mainstream Hollywood is a business, and they're not going to go out of their way to tell stories about things that are complicated and political because there's no money in that. You have to understand that when you work in this business, that if you want to tell those stories on the edge, they have to be done for less money, and they have to be done so that they remain sort of truthful to the subject.
Its truthfulness is being debated, but the Weather Underground is doing business, enough business so that the film was recently held over at a theater in New York and opens in several other cities this weekend. Critics of the group, like Todd Gitlin, hope the audience for this political documentary isn't coming for the politics.
Aside from having a rather self-inflated time, you know, evading the cops and scampering around the country, what did they deliver? What did they actually produce?
And the revolution, according to the film The Weather Underground, will be televised on PBS, which funded the project early next year. For NPR News, I'm David Darcy in New York.